brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Getting it back, seeing the joy on our community's faces and our kids' faces.
Final four to be the best four and so forth. And when we had those championships, man, we got the best teams in there.
This is going to be a fierce physical matchup. I just think the level of football is going to be phenomenal on Friday.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for accessing us however you're doing so, large device or small. John here, Nikki there, and this one is brought to us by mathematics.
Oh, boy.
Part of it anyway.
Part of it anyway. Okay. Yeah. You're not wrong.
No. We get to catch up with Dr. Tim Scott, the executive director of the Georgia High School Association, and find out about the new system for the postseason and rankings and math and how they all came to pass. And I need some
answers.
Yes. And I need probably, you know, someone with an abacus or a TI-33 or someone who knows calculus.
And that's there's also AI for that, John.
I don't AI can sit there and go, nope, I'm not going to give him the right answer. Not happening.
I'm excited to talk to him, though. I know that this has been set in motion for a while.
Yeah.
And everyone has opinions on it. And they have been working really hard to come up with something that's going to work for the majority.
Yes.
And after last year, with all the private schools, I think they came to the best conclusion that they could. So I look forward to hearing his thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with Dr. Scott. We're also going to preview Football Fridays in Georgia coming up this week. It is two very, very important matchups in the region play. It is the Battle of Macklin Road over the air with McEachern and Hillgrove. And our first trip to go and see LaGrange and Troop in person. Cody Chapin's got him on this week.
He does. He does. Well, but this is also our first time going to Hillgrove, too.
That's true.
We completely, like, passed over that somehow.
Yeah. It's our first time to Hillgrove for the battle. Because we've done this matchup on Football Fridays in the past when we were at Cantrell. And so this is our first time doing the reverse fixture, and we get to hang out there. So it's going to be fun. You've got two teams at the top of the rankings, both 7-0 and 4-0 on that particular the over-the-air matchup. And then when you look at LaGrange and Troop, I mean, in the Western Frontier, this is heavyweight.
I was going to say, why is this a must-win for LaGrange?
Well, I mean, because right now you're sitting there and you're looking at rankings. I'm trying to sit here and I'm trying to find my region standings. And so, of course, it's not behaving to where
Region 2-3A?
Thank you. 2-AAA. Yeah, so right now, Troop is at 5-0, 7-0. And LaGrange is 5-1, 7-1. And so LaGrange needs this one over Troop to put this one back in the blender with 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Because right now, 2 at 5-0, LaGrange at 5-1 outside looking in. Right now, in the old system, LaGrange, if things stop today, they'd be going on the road as a 7-1 team pending. And so LaGrange needs this one to draw folks back into the pile and get the tiebreaker over Troop and Tanner Glisson. So it's Napier v. Glisson, LaGrange v. Troop, and that's our web game this week.
That's going to be a good one. I wish we could physically be there.
Oh, I know that.
But we're going to bring it to you via the web.
Yes.
So next best thing.
Yes. And then
I love that.
Yes. And so last week we had fun too.
Last week was a lot of fun up at the Eagle's Nest, if you will. But remember when I said on the podcast, the red elephants keep rolling? They kept rolling.
Yes, that is true.
That was such a fantastic game. The Region 7 and 5A. So here's my quick question.
See if I have a quick answer.
Okay. Let's see here.
Yeah.
So Gainesville's first in the region.
Correct.
Milton dropped to third.
Yes.
Milton hasn't seen a three in front of their name when it comes to region in 42 games.
I know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That they've run the table to that point. And the Gainesville, Gainesville and Josh Niblett, I think that, you know, with Milton and all the graduation that they had and everyone trying to reintegrate with younger faces and the those twos that were now ones coming into this season, you're getting that adjustment. And I mean, they've been in every game. They played Buford out of the blocks. To discount the Milton Eagles would be a bad thing to do.
Right. Those are just two tough teams.
Yeah. And you've got Gainesville. And Gainesville, under Josh Niblett, just under 500 against ranked opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one where everybody's been sitting there saying, okay, to make that jump to the next level, to be recognized with what Coach Niblett has been able to do, out of the blocks, you had two double-digit win seasons. Then you only had seven last year, and he knows that as much as you've got to own those, you know, to sit there and embrace the double-digit win seasons, you've got to own what happened last year with the early bounce. And you get a game like this, and a result like this,
right?
And it's just it's one that can propel you toward the end of season two and get you into season three. And you're going to get a lot of home games at this rate, if this sticks. If you're going to get a lot of home games at City Park, and that's going to be a long road trip for a lot of folks where Gainesville has been doing it in the past.
Yeah,
we get to stay at home for a little while.
Dave, I was going to say they've got chat. They have their last two games are home games, Chattahoochee and then Roswell. They close out with Roswell.
Yes, there goes Tokyo. Mark Chilla gets to see what's going on this week. We'll find out about the wins and losses on the other end. But yes, Mark Chilla and Chattahoochee get Gainesville this week. And then St. Pius and Marist.
Okay, so Coach Chadwick, he got another win.
Yes.
28-21. Here's the cool thing, though. Marist came back from a 14-3 halftime.
That was the early stunner.
They were down.
That was the early stunner that Pius was in front. And then you have Marist come all the way back, and now Alan Chadwick continues the march to Larry Campbell.
Lasco rushed for 284 yards and four touchdowns.
Is that all?
That's it. Oh wait. Okay. Yeah. This is kind of a womp womp, but I want to go real quick to Region 8, Class 4A. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Well, hang on. Region 8, Quad A. Hang on. Let's see. So that's like, I'm looking at my pages and they all blend together.
That's okay. I'm just going to go real quick with you.
Sure.
All right. So North Oconee beats Eastside.
Yes.
It was a wild 14-13 win. North Oconee is 7-0. But John, we have to talk about one of our friends from our football Friday in Georgia.
Yes.
Kamari Brooks.
Yes.
They won without Kamari.
Yes.
Which breaks my heart. What a key player in all three phases of the game.
Yep.
So winning their region shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, 4-0, 8-0, they're a game and a half ahead of Flowery Branch.
Right. But now without Kamari, how does their depth look, if you will, going into the potential playoff run?
And when you are a multi...
He's so multidimensional.
Right. And you were a 34-point favorite, I want to say, against Eastside.
Yeah.
And Eastside turns it into a grinder, and you're just trying to figure out what to do and how to get things all squared away offensively. And since he's such an impact player both sides of the ball, you've got to figure out that you're basically having to sub in two dudes for one.
Right.
And how does that reorient now for Coach Arndt and everybody up there at North Oconee? But you ground it out. You got the win. Game and a half lead. You're eight games in right now. Mm-hmm. And some polls decided that, you know, you keep winning and you drop to number two. But that's because Creekside had the widest victory margin in the Georgia High School Association in a game since 1967.
Whoa.
91 points.
Whoa.
They put up 91 on Drew. And it was... Just you look at Creekside. Creekside is now getting national recognition, top 20 in some polls, top 25 in others. So keep an eye on what Maurice calls tribe pride.
I love that.
Yeah, that's literally every single interview he'll always end up going tribe pride.
Tribe pride.
And so you got to keep an eye on that. But yeah, and maybe the folks that dropped North Oconee in the polls gave the folks at North Oconee something to look at.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, I don't penalize folks for winning a 1-point game against the team. Look, you're still winning. Yeah, you're still unbeaten. Yeah. I don't sit there. Record's a record. Yeah. And so Creekside 8-0, North Oconee 8-0 at the top of Quad A. And literally you had a lot of folks in Middle Georgia and South Georgia take the week off, and their 3-week sprint's going to go here. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens going forward.
Okay. So Fulton County this week has been on fall break.
Yes.
Quick question.
Sure.
Who do you feel like right now just needs a break? Which team is about to head towards a gauntlet, and you're like, you know what? They just need a little bit of a break. Who would that be?
I would say anybody in Fulton County.
It came at the right time.
Yes, that is absolutely true. So we'll catch it. We'll put a bookmark in that topic. Come back to it in a sec. Okay. Out of the blocks. It is our first interview of the week here on Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We find out anything and everything that you always wanted to know about the new PSR and math that we're afraid to ask. Dr. Tim Scott, the executive director of the GHSA.
Hey there, Dr. Scott. Thanks so much for joining us today. But my first question is, do you feel like you can breathe now that everything is set in motion?
It slowed down a little bit, not meeting quite as much, but it's great getting to hang out with you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks so much for taking your time with us. So I'm actually going to follow up, though. Now that everything is set in motion, you know, everything is, the foundation has been laid and we're moving forward. Are there any misconceptions or maybe confusion that you feel like you might want to provide clarity for?
Well, you know, one of the things, it is different than we've done probably in the history of the GHSA, because we've always tried to align regions in some kind of way. And this is the postseason ranking system. And I want everybody to know that we are looking, and we've heard some concerns about the formula. So Don Kors, our expert with the formula, and he has actually taken last year's results and tweaking the formula a little bit, given maybe three or four different options, because as it sits out now, the winning percentage is 35%, the opponent's winning percentage is 35%, and the opponent's winning percentage is 30%. So he is looking at a few things, and, you know, like maybe the winning percentage goes to 34%, the opponent's maybe goes up, you know, to 36%. So we're just looking at some small tweaks because we've been asked to. And so we'll share all that as we get closer to where our numbers are and we ratify things with the executive committee and see if they want to make any changes or leave it like it is.
So when you look at all of this math, and this is a boatload of math. I mean, if you're not really paying attention, your eyes are crossing in this whole thing. And it's like, okay, this. I mean, because I remember power rankings, and you and I remember power rankings, especially when it came to postseason and smaller classifications. How spirited were the discussions to get it to this particular idea before, obviously, you look at things maybe a year or so down the line? But how spirited were the discussions to get it to these numbers and this percentage and this idea?
Well, John, we started meeting in January, and so we were January to October getting this done. So some of the discussions were very spirited, and that's one thing I'll have to tip my hat. Dr. Kurt Miller, he was our chair for the reclass committee, and kind of keeping us on the road was, you know, between the ditches was pretty, you know, big job in itself. But I think they felt a little more comfortable because we used it in the smaller classifications. And so a lot of them felt, hey, if it's good enough to use for half our organization, it's good enough for the entire organization.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at how things continue to grow and evolve here, and you have this model, and I assume Don's getting, what, 58 cents a mile to piece all this stuff together with all the different places he's going to?
That's a little higher than we pay per mile.
Okay, 53 or, you know, whatever it is. But, I mean, whatever the going rate is. But, I mean, you guys are really going to be putting in all of the yard work, the Zoom calls, the mileage, the face-to-face, and all this kind of stuff. Is there one question that you think is going to be the biggest question that you're going to have to answer each and every time? Or are you anticipating different questions from different folks and different classifications? Do you think there's one unifying question that folks have here?
I think there's questions all over the place, depending on whether you're in the metro area or rural areas. If you're large or small, you know, who can I play? If I'm on a state line, can I, you know, play an out-of-state
team?
That
one, yes.
You know, playing non-member school teams, because, see, we don't have the capability of finding the opponent's winning percentage or the opponent's winning percentage when it's an out-of-state team or a non-member team. We don't have those schedules. And so, therefore, you know, it's a little different there. That's where the question came about on should we tweak the current formula as it sits of 35, 35, 30 right now you know, do you hang your hat on just the winning percentage? And if you do that, what advantage does that give to schools that may be on a border state and could go across lines and play? You know, you take a Valdosta or Camden and they're going to Florida frequently. Yeah. You know, is that going to give them a little advantage? And people talk about regions. You know, hey, you're going to PSR. Do you need regions? I say absolutely you need the regions. And I think we need, as an organization, to balance them, because that's what we will be using to make sure that our PSR is accurate so that schools don't play a lot of non-region games and just go find people, that kind of stuff. So I think regions are going to be more important than they have been. Part of that's PSR is so you can take the top 32 teams. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing now is if you're a region champion, you're going to be in the top 16 and get to host. All right. So let's say we have a region champ that on the PSR is 20. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to put them at 16.
Okay.
And then everybody bumps down one slot. So we will look at the PSR and rank everybody according to where they're at. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, and we looked at this, let's say you have a small region and they have two private schools. Last year, we had a region where the two private schools were 1 and 2. Well, they got pulled out because of their classification to play in the private school state championships.
Yeah.
The number 3 team, I looked it up because I was concerned that what happens if you move two private schools, nobody from the public school region is, has an opportunity to represent their region. We didn't have that happen a single time last year. Matter of fact, the third place team would have been 11th on that PSR. So they would have been hosting anyway. And so I think it's going to make for better matchups, the 1 through 32, because, number 1 is going to start out with 32 and, 2 with 31 and so forth. And so your bracket, I think, will be balanced and you won't get the matchups that we had last year where you had some really good teams, maybe 2 of the best, playing in the second round.
Yeah,
I think by doing the PSR, we'll have better matchups. And the idea is for our Elite Eight to be the Elite Eight, to be the best there, or the Final Four to be the best four and so forth. And when we have those championships, man, we got the best teams in there.
Yeah. I don't envy you and your team at all.
No, especially for me, it was failing algebra.
Right.
When I was in high school. You mentioned the out-of-state coefficient, and I think that that's something that a lot of folks are concerned about, because with Georgia being the number 3 state in the country when it comes to talent leaving, heading to the next level, competition, all of that, you have these made-for-TV matchups where you have the highfalutin teams here in the state of Georgia going up against other teams that are nationally ranked in other states. You have you mentioned the border ideas, where Camden, I think, has to play most of their non-region because they're basically on an island. It's like Kingsland, and your next exit's Jacksonville. They go south to play a lot of their opponents. You have Valdosta and Tallahassee, Lincoln, and Cairo, and all of that, and all these crossovers where Early County's playing Alabama, Carrollton's playing in an Alabama school. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much of a stumbling block do you view the idea of the out-of-state non-regions going into all of this math and almost sitting there and saying, well, yeah, I mean, you may not be able to play these teams out-of-state anymore, and you'd have to be playing yourselves instead because of all this math?
No, I think that's where getting a good region and having those line up helps us.
Okay.
And really looking at that when we get that, we need to try to stay away from a 4-team region that, sometimes we've had, if at all possible. And, I won't know that till we see numbers and can really look where everybody lines up by classification. Mm-hmm. But we want to have those out-of-state rivalries. We want the ESPN games. And we are, in my opinion, the best in the country. And we want to continue to do that. And as we have looked at it, I think, and that's one of the reasons, y'all, we set minimums on games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not just for football, because I know we're talking a lot of football right here, but in all the other sports that you got to play a minimum number of games to qualify. And one of the reasons to do that is so the accuracy of the PSR plays out. And that way playing those out-of-states doesn't, you're not going to get hung up on that, and it will be a little tighter, and I think it's going to work out fine. Again, and one of the members said, when at the executive committee said, hey, we need to have a little data, and this is just our second year using this, and we'll use this year's data, and we'll go into the next 2 years, and of course we'll keep an eye on the formula, and that's one of the reasons Don Kohler's going back and looking at everything from last year just to kind of see how we matched up and what would happen if we tweaked it just a little bit.
Well, Coach, you're never going to please everyone, but I think the vote went, what, 17 to 1?
Yes, it was one. It was one nay.
Yeah,
in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not doing bad, right?
Yeah, it's we're very, very thankful for the support that we've got, but I think it's going to be good. And guys, like anything else, you're going to have that 33rd team, or mm-hmm. you know, if you're in the March Madness, you're going to have team number 69, 65, whatever it is.
Yes. Definitely, you're gonna have those folks on the outside looking, and that's always going to be a part of the discussion. We can't thank you enough for dropping by, because there's a lot of math, there's a lot of misunderstandings and trying to understand things going forward into this next cycle. We can't thank you enough, Dr. Scott, for dropping in and kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit and explaining things to those of us who are truly math deficient, like me and Nikki.
Shots fired.
Well, you raised
your
hand.
It's accurate.
She raised her hand, and now she's going, shots fired. I can't win here, Doc.
Hey, y'all do a great job. I'm just thankful to be able to sit around and talk to you.
Hey, come back anytime. Maybe we can discuss all the other sports as well to see how this pans
like
out for them, too. Yeah.
Hey, we're excited about it. Hopefully, we'll get our numbers and have some regions together by the Thanksgiving time. Ooh. And when we have it ratified and be able to discuss it with the football state championships.
Yeah, maybe we can have you back. We'll be here Thanksgiving.
Well, and we'll be here Thanksgiving, but we'll also see him at Mercedes-Benz and we can have all these discussions.
Yes.
And we'll have a Steadicam inside. We'll have like one of those little penlight cams inside the office where Don is just still looking at numbers and everything. Yes. Let's go live to Don, and he's in the office.
We're just going to have him on site on our stage.
He's just
in the corner
the side.
With his little desk.
Yes. So
set him up.
Yes, exactly. Can't thank you enough. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
As always, thanks to Dr. Scott for putting up with my mathematical questions. And if I have an Uber Eats card or a DoorDash gift certificate, I will send it to the office and get it to Don Kohler. We have a new guest.
We do have a new guest. I'm really excited to talk to him.
So who is it?
Oh, you were gonna keep going. It's fine. Today has just been a little bit nutty.
A little bit nutty.
We've got this. All right, so we're gonna welcome in our next guest. We've got the head coach of the Hillgrove Hawks,
yes.
John Nelson.
A lot of alliteration from anxious anchors placed in powerful posts.
Coach DeShawn, thanks so much for joining us. We're gonna just get right in. The Hawks are 7-0.
Uh-huh.
Listen to this, John.
Yeah. Defensive stats?
No, just wait. Oh. Hawks have outscored their opponents 325-13.
Is that all?
That is it. So clearly, Coach, you've got a sound team on both sides of the ball. How do you describe Hawks football?
Man, just a five-year build to get to this point, and we had a lot of success last year, and we've just kept the momentum, and our kids have just been phenomenal. They do everything that we ask, and those stats that you just read. I mean, just every week our kids showing up and being very detail oriented and playing to our standard, and it's just been a ton of fun. We keep telling ourselves, just remember this moment. We keep pinching ourselves about our defense, like this is just incredible, and we've just got some talented kids, and it's been an awesome ride.
What has been the most rewarding thing about this build that you have had here at Hillgrove?
Oh man, the county level folks just asked me the same thing for an article. I really think, guys, it's just, and you guys see the top tier programs in our state. It's been building this program back to what it was when Coach Ironside was here.
Yeah.
It's got a rich history with a ton of talent that's come through here. Getting it back, seeing the joy on our community's faces and our kids' faces, and the amount of work that our kids put in, just giving them something to validate their perseverance, their work, their time, and just being able to share these moments with them. Our kids are on fire. Our community's on fire. I know McEachern's on fire. They're a mile away from us. It's just going to be just a special night Friday, and we cannot wait.
Coach, we can't wait either. Somehow, John and I were just talking about this before we went on air. GPB has never been to Hillgrove.
Yeah, we've done the game, but never been to Hillgrove.
We were Yeah. So what can we expect for this environment, this matchup, the community, the down the street rivals?
Get there
how electric.
Early.
Yes, we yep. need all of the tips, and you need to let us know what the atmosphere is going to be like.
We are expecting, we did ticket sales, go to general sale today at 4. We expect it to sell out before Friday. Max capacity, about 5,000 people packed in here. It's going to be a blackout here at Hillgrove, so you're going to see a ton of black with a wingtip crimson helmet, and you're going to see standing room around the fence, and then you're going to see a sea of blue and gold on the other side filling up a hill. And it's going to be a special atmosphere. Anytime these two teams play, it is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're both 7-0, whether we're both 3-3, this is going to be a fierce physical matchup, and they are so talented and they are so well coached. I just think the level of football is going to be phenomenal on Friday.
How different a coach are you from the Chapel Hill version of yourself now that you're at Hillgrove?
Mm, that's a fantastic question. I think things have changed very much just in 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just being here, I'm a more seasoned coach. This is year 21. Being able to handle certain events, certain things that are happening within your team, being able to calm the ship, being able to be high when the kids are low, and being able to be, you know, just being able to meet the kids where they're at, have a pulse of the team. I would just say, I think everybody thinks they're ready to be a head coach, and then when they look back on it, they go, holy cow, what was I doing? We had some really good teams at Chapel Hill, some really good players, and we were able to build that program to a spot of sustainability before we left. And I wish that I had those players back now, and the staff I have around me now, and the people I have around me now, and give those kids another opportunity.
Coach, I was going to ask you just a football question real quick, but what's the plan for going up against Calvin Pittman and Ja'Cory Shockley?
So, yeah,
what's
she's asking you for game plan.
What's
just go
the
ahead
defensive
and,
plan? Yeah. Have you guys played a team yet in watching film that there might be some similarities?
So this is going to sound crazy to you guys, but if you were watching all of our tape and their tape, I would say that these two teams are almost mirror images of each other in
really?
Schematics and quarterback abilities. And so my answer to you is every day at practice, their quarterback skill set is very equal to ours. And so that's what we see every day. Their receivers are a little bit longer than ours. That is going to be, you know, a little bit of a difference in the game that we're working through. But from a plan perspective, I would say 85% or 90% of both teams' offenses are almost mirror images.
So in that 10 to 15%, when that comes yep. out on game day,
yep.
Do you try to bring anything from the back of the playbook? Is there anything that you surprised that you might have up your sleeve? Or is it just, look, my best, your best, let's just go for it for 48 minutes and whatever happens, happens. Are there any aces anywhere? Or is it just like, yeah, I know what I got, I know what you got, let's go?
Well, they have an ace. You know, number 6 is an ace for them. And so we when he gets on offense, we have a plan. This rivalry, I will tell you, in the four years I've been a part of it, this is year 5, this rivalry has really come down to that 10% that you're talking about. Any type of nuance, trick, to really throw the balance off the other team. And so you have to be creative at times, and we are going to play this thing like it is the last game of the season. And it is a absolute 1,000% must win. So there will be some nuances here and there, and I expect them from McEachern as well.
I wish I was going to be on that sideline Friday. You get the honors.
Yes, I do. I know. This is the fun part in all of this.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Does it blow you away, your defense? I cannot remember the last time that I've seen a bunch of zeros in a row.
I was going to say, yeah. we neither one of us do math, but it's, what, 1.9
yeah.
a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, yeah. what, it's 4 out of your last 5 are zeros, and
yeah.
13 points total all season.
It's wild.
That yep. is staggering to me. Does it blow you, yep. does it blow you and the defensive staff away that you sit there and go, oh, by the end of it, oh, okay. Wow, that's another zero.
So I'll tell you guys that we buy donuts for the kids every time we get a shutout. But my wife is about to cut me off from my bank account because we have bought way too many dang donuts this
There's
year.
No
That's
such
the
thing.
Running joke. Yeah, we're out of donuts.
Do the linemen get more than one?
Yeah, we double those guys.
Good.
Up.
Okay. Keep those guys fed.
Guys, I would be remiss if I didn't. My defensive coordinator, Andy Zatkowski, is phenomenal. And his defensive staff, they are phenomenal. And their preparation every week and having those kids dialed in is just, the amount of focus and detailed preparation that we've had every week to get this done. I mean, and you guys will be a little staggered by this. The 13 points that we've given up have not been against our ones. We gave up 7 in the last minute to Mountain View. And then the last 6 we gave up to Marietta on a running clock at the end of the game with about half of our number one defense in a game.
So and there's an asterisk next to those, is what he's saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I will tell you guys this now. This one thing that we're preparing for as a defense, too, is just of all the things that we've done defensively and the staggering things, the one thing that we have not been challenged defensively on is what is our reaction to being scored on? What is our reaction to some adversity? And so those are things that we're coaching through our guys because we understand our schedule. The two teams we see the next 2 weeks, not only McEachern this week, but we see a phenomenal Harrison team next week. And so, you know, to play at a high level, the end goal is to win the game. And so we're trying to get those kids not to get caught up in these things and just stay really focused on, you know, handling it play by play.
So then how do you tune out people? How do you have the student athletes tune out people like us that keep banging on your door all week to sit there and go, hey, what about this game? How do you tune all that noise out and act as that buffer between us and your student athletes? Or do you just know that this is part of the equation and yeah, we know it's a big one. It's a rivalry game. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. How do you temper that?
I think McEachern alone has overshadowed a lot of that. Just, you know, the stats part, being number one in defense, just McEachern coming here. That's it. That's the only thing. If both teams came in here 0-7, this place would still allow them fire Friday night.
Absolutely.
But I do think with our defensive kids, it's just about, you know, showing up every, we practice in the morning from 6:30 to 8:30 in the morning. And then we come back in the afternoon and do film. And so it's just, it's constant conversation. You know, just it really just have an honest conversation with these guys and just, you know, just communicating. That's the biggest thing. And just making sure that we're covering our bases as adults and preparing them for what's next, not what's just about to happen.
Donuts for morning practice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, that's fantastic. It's great to catch up with you and great to see you.
Yeah.
And we cannot wait to be up there at Hillgrove for the Battle of Macklin Road this week. Can't thank you enough for being here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We'll be seeing you all week long in the car wash and, you know, introducing you to everybody, and we'll see you out there Friday. Can't thank you enough, Coach, for being a part of the show here this week, and we'll be seeing you very soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
You bet. Thank you.
Two coaches down, one to go, and you get to see what my studio looks like. We got to catch up with Kareem Reed, the head coach of McEachern, to get the other side of this big rivalry out there in Powder Springs. We cannot wait, and here is our conversation. Coach, thanks for dropping by, as you always do this time of year. You got a rivalry game coming up, 7-0 out of the blocks. What have you learned about yourself so far this point of the season?
You know, I think our team is really faced some adversity. We played all different types of games this past season where we had, you know, some blowout wins and some come-from-behind victories. We played games, down a few starters because of suspensions and injuries and things of that nature. So we kind of ran the gamut of emotions and adversity, I guess, so to speak, to this point. And I think we have a bunch of resilient kids that have showed up each and every week ready to play. They've accepted the coaching. And we've come out successful, obviously, more times than not. And so I love our group of players. I love our coaches. We just find ways to win and just continue to do that to this point.
So you've got a rivalry game coming up. I know that a couple of years ago it was probably an introduction to you of the Battle of Macklin Road. You got all these games, and then you've got this one coming up with Hillgrove, and it turns into its own rivalry where If you're going to get a ticket, you better have gotten that ticket months ago. Doesn't matter where the game is played. Everybody's going to be lining up. You got to make sure that traffic is okay, that you leave early, all these kinds of things. What was your first lesson about this rivalry that stuck with you?
How much the kids really cared. You know, they were – I didn't have to say – anytime we play Hillgrove, we don't have to do much as coaches just to get these guys going for practice. They're usually pretty locked in. And both, you know, student bodies are really engaged. So that was refreshing to see, you know, for sure. And it was exciting to be a part of the past 2 years. And so it's nothing has changed. It's even more this year, obviously, with us being both really good teams and ranked in the state and things of that nature. So I'm definitely looking forward to Friday night.
How do you and your staff sit there and tune folks like me out all week long on social media and interview requests and all these kinds of things? It's like, nah, I'll take the slings and arrows. Y'all just focus on this. Even though we know what social media is, we know that they're going to be buried into their phones and looking at things, and they're going to sit there and go, oh, ha, 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 look at this. How do you try and tune out all of the outside noise in a game, A, that's a rivalry game, and now B, this year, that means as much as it does with you both 4-0 and 7-0?
I don't think you can ever tune it out, per se. That's kind of coach speak. I think you manage it, right? And so you give the kids parameters, expectations on how to deal with the distractions and social media and things of that nature. And we did that yesterday with our players and said, you know, this is how we want to approach it. This is what we think is going to help us be best successful on Friday night. And so if you guys are all in, you guys are adhere to what we're saying. And our kids have done a great job. They've embraced it. They want to win at the end of the day. All the hoopla and stuff around the game is cool, but it's about winning the game. And so that's what we're going to try to do.
It is a team in Hillgrove that has only given up 13 points. That is an insane number of points that you've allowed or not allowed, depending on your grammar. That is a huge challenge to go up against. What is it about that defense that makes it as special as it has been that you know that you're going to be going up against on Friday night?
I think they are really sound in what they do, just from a schematic standpoint. And then they play really hard. And so when you're sound and then you have players that play hard, that can help you overcome whatever deficiencies you have schematically or athletically, right? And so they do a really good job of just being in the right spots and doing their job, doing what they're supposed to do. I don't think they're overly complicated, so their kids can play fast. They get their cleats in the ground and they strike the correct landmarks. And so that's why they have success.
Game day. When it comes to Friday, how different is it going to be when it comes to administering what you want to do, what your timetables are, what your syllabus says? Okay, this is the bus. This is when we're hopping on. This is all this. How different a game day is it going to be with this being a rivalry, with it two teams 7-0, or is it just going to be one of those things where it's like, we're not treating this any differently? Yes, I know that everybody around school has been painting up signs and been yelling at us all week long. Is it going to be as normal a game day as possible, knowing everything else on the outside?
Yeah, it's business as usual for us at the end of the day. It's not too far of a road trip, which is great. It's 3 miles up the street, literally. So
well, but it's a two-lane road at some point. You might have to leave after lunch now.
Yeah, we'll get there. I'm pretty confident on time. But no, we're not going to change much, man. At the end of the day, we're confident in what we do. We believe in our routines. I'm a very routine-oriented guy, so I don't want to change too much regardless of who we're playing. This is what we do on Fridays, and we're going to continue that because it's gotten us to this point, right? So we won't change much. We'll probably leave just a tad bit later because we do have that grace of being so close. But in terms of how we do things, no, that won't change.
How did you develop your style? Who were your role models as you were turning into the head coach that you are now to develop that system that you are comfortable with that works?
That's a great question. So I've worked and played for a lot of great coaches. First and foremost, I played college football for George O'Leary, who was a very regiment-oriented guy. He's a tough coach. And we weren't always the most talented team, but we were really tough. And so he just had some core values that he taught us as young men that was hard to deal with at that age, but now I understand it as a grown man, and I appreciate all the things that he put us through. And so I really modeled a lot of my core coaching principles through him. And then the next person, I worked for a really good coach, Ray Bonner at Cedar Grove. That was my first job here in the state of Georgia. And so I was with him for 3 years, and I just saw how he managed the players and the parents, right? He was really good. Players loved him, and so did the parents, and he just dealt with people in a special kind of way. And then I'd say the third person that I actually most recently learned the most from is Coach Napier at Florida. Really organized, really smart, really detailed guy. And so that made me I think I was pretty detailed before, but he took it to another level for me just watching him, how he ran the organization from an inside perspective, being on staff there. And I thought that was pretty cool, some of the things he did just from a mindset standpoint, and then just creating intentional connections amongst the staff and the players.
So are they on your speed dial if you have questions, or who is on your speed dial these days?
You know, I have a few coaches that one specifically, Yusuf Shakur is at University of Florida now. He's a Hall of Fame coach down in Florida. He was at Tallahassee Lincoln for many years, Bradenton Manatee most recently, and now he's been on staff at Florida for the past 4 years. Really, really knowledgeable coach. He's done it. He did it for a long time at a high level, coached a number of guys. And so I talk to him actually the most. He does a lot of, advanced scouting for me as well. He tells me what he sees. He kind of quality controls what he sees with us and gives me ideas on how I should do things differently or, keep doing what we're doing. So I bounce a lot of stuff off of him. And so that's kind of my guy right now.
I'm looking forward to it. As always, it's great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for dropping by here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We know it's a very, very busy week for you there at the 30127. We'll be catching up with you all week long here in the car wash that is GPB and Football Fridays. We'll be catching up with you as the week goes along, and we'll see you Friday.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
And yeah, Nick, when I caught up with Coach Reed, he has spent time at a university that you know, that they wear a color that I'm not a fan of. Yeah, I can't do that. No,
okay.
Can't do that one. Because any school in the state of Florida that has anything to do with the color orange, mm-hmm. I get an allergic reaction, and I can't wear in that state. I cannot wear those. Yeah, I can't do
bit.
That.
No,
I can't. Yeah,
a
can't do
bit.
That. Like calamine or something. But no, his time at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I actually just said that.
Yeah.
Instead of the University of South Georgia Gainesville campus. you've got his time there, his time at UCF, right. Learning from George O'Leary, learning from Coach Napier, mm-hmm. all of these folks that he has as a part of his knowledge base. I mean, that's not bad when you can sit there and dial them up and sit there and go, I got a question.
He's got a great phone a friend, but John, it is so impressive of what he's been able to do in such a short amount of time. I think he said what his phone rang. When was it? Last fall?
Mm-hmm.
November or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. And now he goes from Westlake, he goes up to McEachern, and you see what's going on there.
Right.
So, yes.
7-0.
Yes.
It should be a good one.
And 7-0.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 1 and 2 in the region.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Region 3 6A matchup on Football Fridays. LaGrange and Troop. Can LaGrange bring everybody back into the pack when it comes to that matchup in Region 2 AAA? That's going to be the matchup over the on the webs, on the worldwide webs, as the kids say, on all of our social media. All right, so let's get into the remainder of the show.
Okay.
Is there anything else on your mind before we head into how everybody did or didn't do this past week?
No. I think that I was going to ask you the things that make you go, hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any upsets or any droppings, if you will, in the rankings that you were like, what happened?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of things that make you go, hmm.
Let's do it.
Oglethorpe County knocking off off Rabun, and that happened while we were on the air. 23-point underdog, Region 8D1.
Mm-hmm.
Oglethorpe County, and thanks to our friends at the Georgia High School Football Daily for this stat, lost 43 straight against top 10 opponents dating back to 1994. Then they knock off Rabun County. They completely hamstrung Rance Gillespie's crew. Got a big win for them. Statesboro knocks off Brunswick. Brunswick had been ranked toward the top of the standings mm-hmm. in 5A. And so Statesboro brings Brunswick back to the pack a little bit. Savannah, they ended a 40-game losing streak.
Woo!
And we're going to be catching up with my weekly column. It's going to be catching up with Coach Moses. And we'll catch up
Love
with
that.
Him. And, obviously you had a couple of close calls. Dalton snapped their 16-game losing streak, so very, very cool for that. And with what Coach Pruitt is able to do up there. And you've got Marietta, who goes 0-4. But once again, that's why we have Season 1, Season 2, and Season 3.
But you know what? Coach Cam,
uh-huh.
Coach Duke,
yeah.
doing a phenomenal job, Marietta.
Yeah.
Do you think Marietta's back? Are they on their way back?
I think, I mean, look at the, I don't look at season one, the non-region schedule. I put that to the side. Okay. If you're 0-4 in your non-region, don't care. Mm-hmm. Because season two, your region schedule is where you make your hay, and that sets you up for the playoffs, and that sets you up for season three. I know that there are a lot of folks who are looking at Marietta after what Coach Morgan was able to do, and now you've got Cam there now. I'm intrigued. I want to see what it always takes that time to adjust to what you're looking for philosophically, and Coach Deshaun mentioned that with his time at Hillgrove. Mm-hmm. So I want to see now, is this part of the progression for Marietta? That's what I want to see. Going forward. All right.
Hey, John.
Before
you move on to the whip around, did you see the news from Roswell with the Roswell quarterback being named?
Yes.
So the Roswell quarterback, Trey Smith, was named homecoming king.
Yes.
And he took the crown off and gave it to one of the members of the training staff.
Yep.
Jake Jeffries, he's another senior. He's got Down syndrome,
He
is on the sideline for every game. And so the quarterback at Roswell, Trey Smith, presented him with the crown, and apparently the crowd went
wild.
Nuts.
They should have. It was fantastic.
Went nuts. So that's a little bit of my community, right? Like, we're right by Roswell High School too.
You're Roswell adjacent.
That was the talk of the town. Kudos to whoever raised that amazing young man for elevating others. I could cry.
Yeah, I thought you were about to.
I mean, honestly, when I first saw the story, I said, that is humanity. That is an amazing kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the coolest part, though, was how electric the stadium was.
Absolutely.
The community just, I mean, standing ovation for all of those involved. Thank you for bringing that up. That was probably one of the highlights of my week.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. And that is what makes high school football special on Thursdays,
Go
Fridays,
Hornets.
And Saturdays. Yes. All right. So time for the whip around. A lot of folks had bye weeks this week because it was, you know, there are some pockets here in Fulton County, City of Atlanta, Middle Georgia that had some bye weeks. So
fall breaks were all over the place.
Yes, fall breaks. Yeah. Okay, but here's the information that we do have. It was another rough week for Jeremy because Darlington lost to Heard County. Heard County's ranked for a reason. Hannah's Lassiter Trojans shut out Riverwood, and we are still on baby watch, by the way. We're still waiting for Miss Hannah to...
Today was the day.
Yes.
We're just still... We haven't... By the time the podcast airs, we will
probably
have all of the information. So we should just go ahead and say congratulations.
Congratulations. There you go. So Pickens, Marky Marks Pickens beat Chestatee by 17. We mentioned there goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla having it, getting it on the chin. Roswell, big winner over Chattahoochee. And I think everybody else was off. It was, I think, let's see. So me and Lakeside, I think Lakeside lost too. So Sandy's Decatur was off. Jake's Parkview was off. Let's see, James Central Macon was off. We mentioned Jeremy and everybody else. The out-of-staters here, we need an update from Will about what happened in Virginia, President Reagan, and what happened at Topsail. And then how did Mountain Mountain do against Hoover?
I love that you asked this. It was actually Vestavia Oak Mountain.
Okay.
And I watched it.
Yeah.
So I watched it. It was actually on a Thursday night this past week.
Okay.
My cousins were in town. They were passing through for fall break, going to Highlands, North Carolina.
Right.
His kids are zoned for Vestavia. And anyway, so we watched it.
So basically you're saying it was a fight in the den.
No, not at all. They got pummeled. Vestavia won big 41-0.
Oh, well, harumph.
Yeah. But it's okay. Vestavia is building a really good program right now.
Okay. And so
that's all I got.
All right. So they took care of Mountain Mountain. All right.
That's probably the first game I've ever watched of my high school since I left 20 years ago.
You see what happens. You see what happens when we bring Nick in here, Jeremy.
With all due respect, I've been in Georgia since 2010.
Check.
Yeah, but you can still go home. Like, it's Birmingham. It's not that far.
No,
you should go and support.
It's not like going to Neptune.
I've literally lived in Georgia almost longer than I did in Birmingham. I left Birmingham at I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here for 15 years.
But I feel like high school football is a thing that you should go home for and support.
When I have Milton down the road, Roswell down the road.
Yeah, and you didn't even show up to hang out with us on Friday night.
Because guess who the mom was packing for her family of five for fall break to create
look
memories.
Look at the time. We got to wrap up.
The chief adventure officer, John Nelson.
She got a thing. Yeah, she got a
thing. But hey, guess who got to watch it on television because of Football Fridays in Georgia.
See how she does the circular promo here? Yeah, that's how that's.
And
that's how
you can
goes.
Watch us on the GPB Sports app as well.
Uh huh. On Twitch, on Twitters,
on the X,
on the Facebooks,
John, on the X.
The 280 character app.
You're showing your age.
Yes, I am.
It's called X.
I know that that shocks everybody. So let's see. For Ambassador Jeremy, for King James, for There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. For Marky Mark, for Jake the Snake, for Sandy, for the mom, Hannah.
Hannah and Baby Violet and Daddy John. Whoop, whoop.
Yes, and for the rest of us, so it's me and Goodwill Hunting and President Reagan and Miss Mountain Mountain over here. that's another go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at GPB. Once again, over the air, the Battle of Macklin Road, Hillgrove hosting McEachern, and it is Troop and LaGrange on the web. Have a good Football Friday. We'll talk about it again next week. We'll talk stuff. That's the official term. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your games.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.